All right, Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter 15. We'll be there just for a few minutes this evening. I'm glad to be with you again. And if you don't know me, if we've not met before, my name is Blake Muscott. This is my wife, Haley. And we have a little baby girl on the way due in January. Really excited about that. And the Lord's given us a very unique ministry. God called both my wife and I at separate times at a young age into the mission field, gave us a burden for foreign missions to try to reach people who didn't have as good an opportunity as you and I have had to hear the gospel. And so we both, as early as we could, started taking mission trips all around the world and just grew burdened to reach the world with the gospel. But never thought that God would keep us here in the United States, but we still get to reach the world with the gospel. So what we have an opportunity to do is, there was a ministry started in the 70s in Norfolk, Virginia, and the merchant seafarers that come in, all the big cargo ships that import and export everything that comes in and out of the United States, a lot of it happens in our port, in our area in Virginia. And so the men that work on these ships are from all over the world, but English is the trade language. So we're able to talk to them in English about Jesus, and then we're able to give them a Bible in their language that they can take with them. Imagine trying to step into the country of Yemen and start preaching the gospel and give them the Bible in Arabic. You could not do that very easily, but when they come here, we have absolute liberty to do that. So we're thankful for the opportunity that God has given us. Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter 15. And the character that we have this evening, for the next few minutes, is Silas. I love Silas. He's such a great companion to Paul, the great missionary. Paul, the man who traveled the world, and you'll hear a little bit about him this week as well. But many of the great men of God who have done great things for God couldn't have done what they did if they didn't have help like the man Silas. People who didn't get their names put up on the mission display board, but yet were a crucial part of the ministry, and they were okay with that. That was Silas. And so I'm thankful for his example. We'll see a little bit about that this evening. Look at Acts chapter number 15 and begin in verse number 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Now that's interesting. Hold on right there. Acts chapter 15, they are right here on the tail end of a great Bible conference. I mean, they had all the greatest preachers in the world that you could get to teach the Word of God. Peter was there, Paul was there, Barnabas is there, James is there, and they're all preaching the Word of God. And at the tail end of this great Bible conference, there's division. We can't let our guard down. Just because you have a good Bible conference doesn't mean it's going to be easy to get along. All right, we've got to be careful about that, but we see that here. So they departed asunder, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Then the Bible says in verse number 40, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." That is Silas. Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived, chose this man by name to take with him. And I'd like to look for a little bit why God chose him and why Paul chose him. It's amazing. So when Paul chose Silas, he gets to go with Paul and on this great missionary journey, Derbe, Lystra, Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, Troas, Samothracia, Neapolis, then Philippi. You remember all the stories, the great things that happened there in Philippi. First, there's this Lydia, the seller of purple, outside the city of Philippi. Actually, it was Pastor Brent Logan took me there. I got to go there in 2012 in that actual place in Philippi and sit down by the river, probably where she got saved. And Silas was there, and Silas got to see that because he was chosen by Paul to go on him with his journey. Silas got to see Paul cast out a devil out of a woman. And then because of that, they were brought before the city and they beat them. And then they threw them in prison there in Philippi. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns. And the Bible says that the earth shook. And the Bible says that the bands fell off of them. The doors swung open and the prison guards, oh no, I'm going to kill myself before they kill me for letting you guys go. And he said, no, don't kill yourself. Let me talk to you about Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Silas got to see that because he was chosen by Paul to go here. Now, Paul wouldn't have just chosen anybody. He chose this man for a reason. Next, Silas got to go with Paul into several other cities, and then they got to Thessalonica. The whole world is turned upside down because the preaching of these men is what they said. Then they got to go to Corinth and Berea. Just amazing ministry, all because Paul chose him. But what is it about Silas that made him so special that Paul said, that's the man that I need? I think we can see that here in Acts chapter 15. Let's go to the Lord. Would you go to the Lord with me? Father, I need your help tonight. God, I'm begging you to give me the words to say. God, we have your word. And I pray that you'll feed your people tonight as only you can. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have in Acts chapter 15, leading up to it, Paul and Barnabas had just returned from their first missionary journey. And you have to understand, prior to this period of time, the word of God and the gospel of God had only spread throughout Judaism. And up until Acts chapter 15, they thought that Christianity is only for the Jews, that Jesus and the preaching of Jesus Christ and salvation through Jesus Christ is just for the Jewish people. But Paul and Barnabas found out different. They go through all the world and take this long missionary journey and they see Gentiles hearing about Jesus Christ and saying, that's what I need. That's what my soul longs for. And they see people get saved and added to the church and filled with the Spirit of God, just like the Jews. So they come back from this journey, and as they come back, they're telling all these Jewish churches what has happened and all these people that are getting saved. Many of them are rejoicing. But then there's a group of Pharisees that said, no, you can't just let Gentiles be saved. Surely they've got to keep the law. And so there's this big division among them. So they have this big meeting in the church there at Jerusalem. They bring Paul and Barnabas down for this meeting. And here in Acts chapter 15, they're going to try to determine, what does the Lord want with these Gentiles? Do they have to be circumcised? Do they have to keep the law in order to be saved? And of course, in this chapter, we find out that that's not the case. If you're saved, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. You're part of the church. It's something entirely different. And so that happens here in the book of Acts, chapter number 15. So they write this letter, and this letter is going to be sent out back to all the churches that are predominantly Gentile. And they're going to get this letter delivered from the church there at Jerusalem. And that is going to tell them what they need to do. They don't have to keep the law to be saved. Praise God. They don't have to try to do all these Levitical things and these Jewish laws to try to earn their salvation or keep their salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. But here's four things that are profitable if you abstain from them. And that letter is going to be sent out to these churches. That's what we have here. In verse number, let's just look down at verse number 21. Acts 15, verse number 21. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas. If your name is Judas, you'd want to change too. And Silas, chief men among the brethren. They're going to give these men the responsibility to take this letter back to those churches. It's a pretty big responsibility. Why was Silas chosen? Well, here's the first thing we see here in this passage. Silas was chosen of the brethren. That's a big deal. Look back at verse number 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company. Silas was among them. He was chosen. You know, there's a lot of people, and we like to say, hey, there's a ministry over there in some other place. Let's send this brother, but really they just want him out of their church, you know. That wasn't Silas. They loved him. But they said, hey, if any man in our church is fit for the job, Silas is fit for the job. I wonder if your church would say that about you. If somebody was needed to do something for the Lord, and it was a huge responsibility, and somebody had to be dependable and trustworthy, and they knew that if they sent him, he would do the job, would you be the one chosen? Silas was. The whole church, the elders, the apostles, they said, hey, if we need a man, Silas is our man. He was chosen. In fact, look at verse number 25. It seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. And that was Silas. And then, of course, at the end of the chapter, you know that Paul himself chose Silas, being recommended of the church. The next thing we see is also in verse number 22. Silas was a companion to the brethren. Look at verse 22 again. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas. A companion is one who keeps company with another, one with whom a person frequently associates or converses. It differs from a friend or an acquaintance. It is one in whom you can put your confidence. That was Silas. There are a lot of people that come to churches on a weekly basis. Maybe they're just Sunday morning. Maybe they come Sunday morning, Sunday night. Maybe they come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But they're just an acquaintance. They're not part of the body. They're not a company. They're not a companion. This place should be our life. It's not wrong to have friends outside of these walls, but those should not be your companions. This place right here is where our life should be wrapped up in. Not just somebody you know. The people sitting across from you in this building should just be people you're acquainted with. You should be able to depend on one another. And that was Silas. That whole church knew, if I need help, I can call Silas and he'll be there to help me. Oh, I want to be that man. I want to be somebody that's totally wrapped up in the church of God. Somebody that's a companion to the brethren. Who are you associated with? What crowd of people are you known by? For Silas, it was the church of God. The third thing we see is Silas was not just a good church member. He was chief among the brethren. Look again at verse 22. The end of the verse, they said, Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Now, he wasn't chief over the brethren. The Bible's careful to word it that way, but chief among. Yeah, it's so funny. The day in which we live, Johnny comes back from football practice. We didn't win this week. And mommy says, oh, that's okay. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's just how you play the game. You're wrong. It should matter. You're not in it just to, I'm just here. No, you got to be in it to win it. That's the attitude that Paul had, and that's the attitude that Silas had. I'm not just going to be here. Silas said, I want to be so involved in the church of God that I'm the best at whatever I do. Not to be better than the other brethren. He's chief among them. But whatever he set his heart to do for God, he did it to the best of his ability. I'm going to sing a song for the Lord, but No, give it all you got. I'm going to teach a lesson, but I haven't studied anything, so let me just flip through the Bible and find something to teach for Sunday school. No, give it all you got. It's not wrong. In fact, Paul said, you got to strive for the mastery. Don't just be a nominal Christian. Be a chief Christian. Be all you can be for God. Don't just be here. Be chief among the brethren. Listen to this. Listen to the definition. Chief. It's principal or most eminent in any quality or action, most distinguished, having most influence. Whose life are you influencing for the cause of Christ? So many people, they come to church and they want somebody to pour into them. What do you have for our teenagers? What do you have for our children? What activities do you have outside of church? What kind of free stuff can I get? That wasn't Silas. He came to church wondering, what can I give? What can I invest into somebody else? What can I do to pour the Word of God into the life of somebody else? And that's what made him chief. One who takes the lead. One who is most valuable and most important. Are you chief among the brethren? Number four, Silas was a committed believer. Look what the Bible says with me in verse number 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. So here's the letter that they're going to send out to the churches. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they chose Silas. He was a man who put himself in danger to further the cause of Jesus Christ. To hazard, as an intransitive verb, hazard means to expose to chance, to put in danger of loss or injury, to venture, to risk, to hazard life to save a friend. Oh, we could all use some help there. Do you know, there are sometimes as a believer being part of a church that you've got to put yourself at risk to help somebody. You might put yourself in a situation to help somebody that they might stab you in the back. They might say nasty things about you. They might say, oh, we love you, and then turn around and start talking bad about you to other people. But if you're going to serve the Lord and care about others above yourself, you've got to be willing to hazard your life to benefit the church of God. I wonder, what risks are you willing to take to preach the gospel to this world? Are you afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ to the people that you work with because you're afraid of what it might cost you? That wasn't Silas. He was willing to tell people about Jesus no matter the cost. And that's what made Silas a chosen man. He was a committed believer. Number five, Silas was a credible believer. Somebody who was trustworthy. Look at verse 26 again. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Here's what they knew. They knew that this letter was going to be very difficult to send out to these other churches because it wasn't going to be received very well by those who opposed it. But here's what they knew. If they sent Judas and if they sent Silas, that message wasn't going to get changed, so it was a little bit more palatable. You know what's a big problem in America in our day? This half gospel where we go out into the world and say, Jesus loves you. Do you want a mansion in heaven? Well, pray this prayer. You missed something. There's a big part of that message that you left out so it was more palatable and easier to be received. But God knew, and that church knew, that Silas wasn't going to do that. He was going to preach the whole truth because the whole truth was needed. What about this? Can you be trusted to give all the information? You know the cause of so much damage in churches today is because people talk about somebody else and they don't give the whole truth. They change the truth just a little bit, or they leave a little bit part out to profit themselves just a little bit in the eyes of those to whom they're speaking. Silas would not do that. He was trustworthy. Are you trustworthy this evening? And lastly, Silas was a confirming believer. Look at verse number 32. And Judas and Silas, so they go and they deliver this message, and this is after the message is delivered. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. To exhort, it means to encourage, to embolden, to cheer, to advise. The primary sense seems to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. Is that what you do to the church of God? Are you an encourager? Are you somebody, the Bible says that he confirmed them. That doesn't mean, you know, like the Catholics, they go and do this little class and then they're confirmed into the church. That's not what he's talking about. He took the word of God and says, this is what the Bible says. And they caused their faith to be firm in the word of God. Are you a confirming believer? Do you cause other people to have more confidence in the word of God because of your example and because of your exhortation and because of your willingness to pour your life into somebody else? That was Silas. And the greatest missionary that ever lived walked through that church and said, this is the man that I need to travel with me and turn the world upside down for the cause of Jesus Christ. I want to have some of these qualities, don't you? Let's ask the Lord to help us have some of these. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'll bless the rest of this conference this evening. God, please give us what we need and help us to do something with it. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Pastor.